Welcome to the Always Better Than Yesterday podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Hartley. This podcast exists to equip and inspire your heart-centered leadership. Every week, we bring interviews with some of the greatest heart sets and mindsets on the planet. I hope the heartprint of our time spent together is that it creates new possibilities for you and all those you come into contact with. If you'd like to explore what we could make possible for you, then head to abty.co.uk/connect and book in a free 30-minute call to begin our journey together. I just want to express a huge amount of gratitude to our sponsors, Map Media Online, an independent agency who specialise in content marketing, helping businesses get their message seen by the right audience. Matt has produced all the digital media assets for this podcast since episode 106 back in December 2020. To have Matt in your corner, head to mattmedia.online. I'd also like to thank Exhale Coffee. I have been a big fan of Exhale Coffee since meeting Alex and the team back in 2022. Exhale is the first coffee to be sourced, roasted and lab tested specifically to maximise its antioxidant and anti-inflammatory potency. An independent lab test has shown that one cup of Exhale Coffee has the same antioxidant power as 1.8 kilos of blueberries or 55 oranges. I'm a huge fan and Mrs. H loves the decaf, especially because she knows that Exhale used the mountain water decaffeination process, which uses only pure glacial water from the highest mountain in Mexico and no nasty chemicals. Simply head to exhalecoffee.com/ABTY for your special offer. And lastly, before I introduce this week's guest, please do subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. It would really help us leave a greater heartprint on this world. On episode 246, I welcome Evan Carmichael to the podcast. Evan runs a YouTube channel for entrepreneurs and it has nearly 4 million subscribers with over 600 million views. He has written 4 books and speaks globally. Evan wants to solve the world's biggest problem, that people don't believe in themselves enough. I have been a fan of Evan and his content for many, many years, first watching his 10 Rules for Success all the way back in 2016. It's incredible to sit down and have a conversation with Evan, and one that I am honoured to be able to share with you. And I hope that this episode helps you believe in yourself a little bit more than you did yesterday. Evan Carmichael, welcome to Always Better Than Yesterday podcast. How are you, brother?
Let's go, Ryan. Good to be here.
Oh, man. I've loved your heart work for a very long time. I was thinking, when did I first come across Evan's content? 2016. Do you know which 10 Rules for Success it was?
We did a lot in 2016, so you tell me, man.
Conor McGregor. I love that guy.
Wow.
That guy has got some serious mindset and showmanship. And number one rule that you did 2016 for Conor McGregor, love what you do. And it clearly resonates. A lot of what I'm all about here at Always Better Than Yesterday is about the heart and loving what you do, man. How much of that is present in all of what you do, loving what you do?
I think it's the core. Like, we've studied successful people, you know, I've probably studied more successful people than most people. And the number one rule for success is that you love the process. You have to, like, love the actual work that you're doing, that it doesn't feel like work, that it's, we're all trying to have an impact and get results. And, you know, you care how many views you get, et cetera, you know, the external numbers, but at the core is you still have to love the actual process. And one of the things that I love doing is being able to pull rules for success from people who a lot of people may not instantly connect with. Like, Conor does a lot of things that would throw a lot of people off. You know, he's a lightning bolt. He's he does some things that rub people the wrong way, and they would never give him a chance at all to hear, you know, some of his wisdom. But he's had a ton of success, you know, and anybody who's had a lot of success, I want to learn something from. And doesn't mean that your goal is to be the next Conor McGregor, but you could learn something from him. And I've tried, especially, to try to learn from people who I may not like right out of the gate for whatever reason, because they often have the most to teach you. If you only learn from people who are exactly like you, you're by definition limiting how much you learn. So yeah. The challenge with Conor was going through and saying, okay, I mean, he's got all these interviews of him doing all sorts of crazy things, which is fine. And, you know, Conor, you do you. And there's also a lot of wisdom. You know, so that video with Conor, It wasn't him trash talking somebody, making fun of somebody's mom or, you know, whatever else, but there's a lot of wisdom in there. And that's one of the things that I love doing.
I think what's beautiful about what you do is that you, and it's maybe not something obvious, but you invite people to consider what success might mean for someone personally, because what you're doing is you're showcasing or you're profiling what makes other people successful. You think, well, if it's different for everybody, then this universal definition of success therefore can't exist. If it's so subjective, if it's so different for many people. And it's wonderful to then have people invite themselves into reflection of what might be success for ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, the early days of that series, I only focus on entrepreneurs. And the first non-entrepreneur that we did was Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan, billionaire, you know, a lot of people don't know that. Super successful entrepreneur too, but you don't think of him as a entrepreneur. You think of him as, you know, the GOAT of the basketball world. And when I, you know, was looking into his stuff, okay, how would we do a top 10 rules of success for Michael Jordan? And, you know, we're not going to talk about how do you dunk a ball or how do you post up, you know, but all of his things about working hard and teamwork and motivation, like it all applies to us as well. And so he was the first non-traditional kind of entrepreneur that we had, which then opened the gates to people like Connor and other athletes and musicians and artists, and hearing what success means to them, I think, again, just allows you to pull different things from different people. Because if you're only listening to hardcore entrepreneurs, you only see the world a certain way. But if you can pull from a Conor McGregor or Princess Diana or whoever, and it like sparks something, again, it doesn't, like, nobody's going to be the best Ryan Hartley except Ryan Hartley. Like, your goal is to be, you know, future Ryan Hartley today. So you don't want to be Conor McGregor, but learning from him two or three things makes you a better Ryan Hartley. And so that becomes the goals. Like, you're not trying to be anybody else, just the best you. Well, how do you get there? It's not from the current people around you. Like, you've already learned from them. So you got to inject newness in. And if you can pull, if there's 10 rules from somebody and then like just one of them applies to you, that could be life-changing for you to help you become a better you.
Hey friends, before we dive back into the interview, I just wanted to take a quick moment and ask for your help. Did you know that only 7% of you, 7% are currently subscribed to the YouTube channel? If you are enjoying the content so far and haven't hit the subscribe button yet, now is the perfect time to do it. By subscribing, you'll stay up to date with all our latest videos and you'll become part of our fantastic community. Plus, it's entirely free and it takes just a second. Just click that red subscribe button below this video. Not only will you never miss out on our future content, but you'll also be showing your support for this channel and helping us grow. It's your way of saying, hey, I love what you're doing and I want to see more. Don't forget to ring that notification bell so you'll be the first to know when we upload a new video. So if you're one of the 93% who hasn't subscribed yet, join the 7% who already have. And let's make this community even more awesome together. Thank you for being here. Let's get back to that interview.
Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for the part that you've played in my journey and many others, like millions of others. And, you know, I'd love to talk to you all day, my friend. I'd love to pick your brains. I'd love to do that. But I think the best way that our short conversation can serve my community is all about heart-centered leadership. This is what our podcast is all about. It's all about loving on others, serving others. And that's why I'd love for the focus of our conversation, our short one, to be all around this idea that we are built to serve.
Yeah, I think humans are built to serve. I wrote a book on it called Built to Serve. And I think there it is. There he's got his copy. If you're not happy, it's because you're not serving. Yeah. And they did functional MRIs on people's brains and found that serving other people lights up the same part of your brain as having food and having sex. You're literally hardwired to serve. And I think I think everybody listening, especially to your show, would know this and feel this, that if you woke up every day and felt like you're not going to serve anybody, that nobody cares if you show up or not, that what you do is meaningless, like that's a pretty desperate path down to stress and anxiety and depression and suicide, very dark things. But if you woke up and felt like, today I'm going to make something that's going to matter to somebody, Whether it's for you making, you know, an interview, a podcast, whether it's an artist creating a piece of art, whether it's somebody showing up to work and just feeling like today I may not change the world, but I'm going to help one person. Like if you felt that consistently every day that you're going to help at least one person, holy cow, does it completely change how you show up? And so I think if you're not happy, it's because you're not serving. And some people, you and I, we want to serve the world. Huge mission, serve the world, change consciousness, you know, all of it. Great.
Yeah.
And others, you may not have a big vision. You know, my wife doesn't want to change the world, but she still wants to serve. And she's the glue for our family. She's remembering everybody's birthdays and getting we had Halloween last night. She's getting all the trick-or-treat candy out for all the kids and remembering all of these things. But either way, you're built to serve either the world or the closest people to you. And if you're not happy, it's because you're not serving.
Yeah. I truly believe that we're here to discover what it is that we've uniquely got and bring that in the service to whoever in the world it is that needs that, right? I trust that when we bring that element of our heart, and so much of that is revealed by our pain, like the underlying story of so many of these interviews that I've had is that there is purpose in our pain. And I love the bit in the book which you talk about the hero, but I also know that there's enough about the hero and the villain that both have the same backstory, that some form of pain has occurred. What changes is the way that they take that story, the meaning they apply to that, and then how they take that forward. So the hero would take it forward and use it to serve others, whereas the villain might take it forward and use it to serve themselves. So there's another economy out there that says, I'm built to be served. You know, the world owes me. And I guess what we're talking about here is coming back to the truth of the matter, which is that we are built to serve rather than be served.
Yeah, and listen, I go through this exercise. It's in Built to Serve, where I have everybody figure out what their who is. It's their most important core value. So if you, well, Ryan, if you had to pick your most important core value, what would you come up with?
Love.
Look, I mean, that's a shocker. It's great.
I've had to learn through my wisdom to come to the world from love, not for love. I got things very wrong when I used my job and my purpose to get the love I thought I lacked.
Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent distinction right there. And so I've gone through this exercise with thousands of people, and it's always something positive. When I ask them, what's your most important core value? It's always something positive. It's always something like love or freedom, or mine is believe.
Yeah.
It's always something. I've never had somebody come and say, my most important core value is death, is hatred, right? And so what it leads me to, like, the next step from that is, well, then people are good. Like, people are fundamentally good. If they self-identify with the most important core value being something really positive, then people are intrinsically good. People are good. But then why is there so much pain in the world? And why is there so much negativity in the world? And why is there so much hatred in the world and so much violence in the world? Well, people are in a lot of pain. And pain causes you to do things that are outside of your core values. It's like, have you shown up every day, always, Ryan, with love every single time? It's like, you know, of course not.
True story.
Right? So, and even now, if you're really stressed out or really upset or something negative really happened to you, you might be short with somebody. You might be rude to somebody, right? Like, nobody is perfect. And so if we've all been through intense pain, and we know that when we are in intense pain, we don't show up as our best selves. And so that's where it's like, well, humans are good. They're just in a lot of pain. And so that's why I don't even believe in the term hater. They're not haters. They're just in a lot of pain. It's not like they are a bad person. They are a good person who's in a lot of pain, and so they're making choices that a person in pain would make, right? And even that perspective shift, at least for me, really helps. If you see a negative comment on a video, it's like, oh, this person's just in a ton of pain right now. They're not a bad person. And so I think, you know, shows like this help open people's eyes again. The channels that I'm trying to create, is trying to give different perspectives and show what success could look like from different angles, because sometimes it's just the right voice said at the right time. And that's the thing that makes a difference. Like, you reference a 2016 video and something in that video, Conor McGregor talking about love, like, sparked something for you that now, however many years later, you're still remembering. And we've all had those moments. And so what I want to try to do is create more moments, whether that's by coming on shows like yours, whether that's by creating more videos, because you never know, even if you heard the message before, yeah, but the way Ryan said it today, it sunk in because it felt different.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting point because, you know, I my background is in policing. And when I first fell in love with this idea of leadership, I got ridiculed a little bit. You know, people mocked me. What does Ryan Hartley know about leadership? They'd call me a Simon Sinek fanboy. And, you know, if I was led to believe that, oh, I was just a Simon Sinek fanboy, I would have gone, well, what's the point in my voice? What's the point in me bringing to the world what somebody else is out there is already doing? And that's a problem, right? Because it means I would never be contributing to the world my fullest potential.
Yeah, and I think we all go through phases of imposter syndrome, even starting a podcast. You're going to start a podcast. Who are you, Joe Rogan? Are you Joe Rogan Jr.? Are you a Tim Ferriss Jr. or whoever number one podcaster that you look up to is? And, you know, the thing that I've learned is people will learn from your story. And so if all you did was come on and ask the same questions that Joe Rogan asked, then you're an Elvis impersonator. You're just trying to be somebody else. But when you share your story and when you ask your questions and the things that you care about, it may not hit millions yet, but you're hitting it in your way. And the people who are loyal listeners to this program, it may not be the audience size that you want yet. And if you keep going, you'll keep getting more people. And they'll say, I just love how Ryan flows. And I love the guests that he brings on. And I love the places that he takes his guests. And so in your story, you're now bringing out unique value. And so for anybody who has imposter syndrome and they're worried that, like, oh, I'm not good enough to be Simon Sinek or Joe Rogan or Tony Robbins or Oprah or like insert whoever you think is way ahead of you. An exercise I like to guide people through is called the park bench exercise. And imagine that the you from 10 years ago is sitting at a park bench. And you're going to go and you have 5 minutes with the you from 10 years ago. Could you say something to the you from 10 years ago that might shift them? You know, it's like, yes. Like if I went back and thought about how old am I now? I'm 43. If I had to go back to like 33-year-old Evan and I got 5 minutes with him, like I'm sure I could come up with tons of things to say to 33-year-old Evan. Awesome. So if you believe that, then know that there are millions of people right now who currently are the you from 10 years ago and they need you. They need your story. They need your message. Need the way that you're saying it. And that's how I've kind of dealt with imposter syndrome. And that, you know, I see growth as this mountain that we're climbing. There's never ending mountain. Like you never reach the top of the mountain. You know, beyond the mountain, there's more mountains. We're always climbing and learning and growing. It's like there can never be enough love. There's always more love. Always. But every time
does that then set the context that the goal is never to ascend the mountain, but to enjoy the journey?
Yes, to enjoy the climb.
Because so 100%. Many people will get there and go, oh, well, what next?
Yeah. Yeah. And even more than that, so people also say, like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. The caveat I would add is also, hey, and also pay attention to the company.
Right, 100%. Yeah.
The company that you keep along the journey makes it a lot more fun, right? So, like, who are you hanging with along? We're on, right now, we're doing this show. We're on a journey together. We may never see each other again, or we become best friends and business partners, and like who knows what happens, right? But we're climbing this mountain, and further ahead up the mountain is Joe Rogan and Simon Sinek and Tony Robbins, and they're at step like 8,000, and you're at step 14. You know, but where are most people stuck? They're at step zero.
Yeah,
like most people are stuck at step zero.
Yeah,
and they're just trying to get to step one, and so. It doesn't matter that Rogan's at step 8,000. You're at step 14. You can help somebody get to step 13.
Let's go.
And most people are stuck at step zero, right? So now if you said that you can help somebody get to step 100, okay, now you should have imposter syndrome because you haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
But most people are stuck at the very beginning and you've already passed the very beginning. And so your story adds a lot of credibility, a lot of newness. And again, the way that you say it and the vibe that you speak at will connect with somebody who doesn't like Joe Rogan, but they'll listen to you.
I wonder whether there's a connection with your answer to the question I'm about to ask you. I don't ever have any set questions, but before we went on, my son was in here reading your book. He's 11 years old. And he said, Dad, can you ask Evan this question? I'm like, dude, do you know how little time I've got with him? He's like, I need you to ask him who inspired you to write it. I was like, dude, look, I'll have the list on my, I'll write it down, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer him. So I'm okay if you give me a 20-second answer, but who inspired you to write Built to Serve?
What's your son's name?
His name's Corey.
Corey Hartley. Listen up. Who inspired me to write Built to Serve? No human. I get inspired by ideas that flow through me and then take action on them. So I had a different book already out called Your One Word before Built to Serve. And that was my book. And I didn't want to write a new book. I had no intention of writing a new book. And people said, when's your next book? Because I don't have another book. It's Your One Word. Go read that one. It's a great book. And then for whatever reason, I woke up and felt I need to write a new book around service. I didn't have the name yet necessarily. Actually, the main process in the book is called Who, Why, How. There's three steps that we guide people through. And that was the initial book. The title was going to be called Who, Why, How. And my agent loved it. The book publishing loved it. But nobody could ever remember the name right. And so I was going to be called Who, Why, How. And then even my own agent said, no, you can't change the name. They're like, I love Who, When, Why. It's like, yeah, that's not even the name, right? It's like, nobody can remember it. So we changed it to Built to Serve. But like a lot of these projects, I make a lot of decisions based off of how I'm feeling and just the vibe. And I've been fortunate that many great ideas have flown through me and I've said no to too many of them. And I realized that even though it may not make sense, I have to say yes to doing this because it feels right. And that was Built to Serve. And so there was no, maybe the collection of humans that I've gotten to know over the years, their collective energy was pouring into me and it said, hey, Carmichael, time to write that book.
Trust your intuition, Corey Hartley. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for going there. I've got two more questions and I've got a few more minutes left. And, my background was in policing and there's an exercise you talk about the police lineup. How is a police lineup supposed to guide anyone towards their purpose?
Yeah, so a lot of times people have a hard time going positive with figuring out their purpose and they can go negative. And this is something that I really struggled with because I don't really think in negative terms. But a lot of people find their most important core value by going negative. And so if you think about, if you line up all the people who you've hated, who've caused immense harm to you, and then think about what did they have in common? What do they have in common? Were they disloyal? Did they cheat you? Did they insult you? Did they abuse you? Was there just a lack of trust? Like, what was it about these people that they have in common? And they're not bad people. They're just in a lot of pain. But there's a similarity between all the people who've hurt you the most. And that pattern continues to play out. And so that thing that they all have in common, the opposite is a thing that you value the most. So, for you, if it's, for Ryan here, if it's love, then seeing somebody just be cruel to somebody else is going to be just really tear at you. It's like
my word for transparency is abandonment.
Yeah,
the pain is abandonment. So the opposite of that for me is love and belonging.
Yeah, and like I've never been abandoned, right? So like it doesn't, when you say that, it doesn't connect with me because that's not my story. My parents were amazing. I've never felt abandoned by anybody, and so like that it's not my path.
Yeah,
but it's yours. Yeah. And so some people find it easier to go negative. And the point isn't to stay in a negative, it's to take that negative and flip it to the positive so that we don't become the villain in your story and then we become the hero.
I love that. Evan, I'm really grateful for your time, really grateful for your work. I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk and connect. One of the words I have here, always better than yesterday, it's called heartprint. And the word heartprint is the ripple effect that we have. It's the 1 degrees of possibility that we create for other people that all of a sudden things are different, like there's just new possibility that comes through. Evan, I just wonder what you hope your heartprint will be.
That's an interesting way to put it. I think whatever your most important core value is, your who, that is your heart print. So I want to spread more belief in the world. You want to spread more love in the world. And so that's why understanding what your who is becomes really valuable. And I split it into two things of the thing that I'm missing the most is even more belief. You know, whatever that is, like people would look at you and say, but you are Mr. Love, Ryan. Yeah, but the thing that you're missing even more is more love. You want to transcend, it's on the other side of even more love. More love for self and more love for others. And what does that look like? And when you figure that out, then like it's the you're like shedding a new skin and now you're free again. And the same thing for me. Every major growth in my life, not just business, has been on the other side of even more belief. Belief in self. And then trying to spread more belief out to the world. And so I hope that that's what my heart print is, a constant reminder to me as well as what I can create for others.
And you might have done this, I might have missed it, but have you done a 10 rules for success for Ted Lasso?
I don't think so.
My friend, now is the time.
Now is the time. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's hard to remember going back how many years, but it doesn't ring a bell. So I don't think so.
That guy, spirit animal, like he is all about belief. Like, honestly, over in England as well.
I'm making a note. I'll ask my team. If we have, I'll send it to you. And if not, we'll get researching.
It needs to be done, my friend. I'm telling you.
All right,
Ryan. The world needs a top 10 rules for success from Ted Lasso. Evan, thank you for your hard work, my friend. Thank you for all the goodness that you're putting out into the world. I'd be honored if you'd leave us a final thought from your good self.
A final thought from what was the last part?
From your good self.
From my good self. To use the energy from this episode, you know, if you're listening all the way through here, that there is something inside you that wants to come out in a good way to serve others, and it's time to listen to it. And to use this episode as your permission to go do something about it, because people are counting on you and this is your next evolution. You're ready and let's go.
Let's go. Amen, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Ryan. Listen, what episode number is this for you?
Oh, 250, nearly 250 of interviews and over 1,000 individual.
This is 250 of interviews.
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically, but when it will go out, it'll be in that arena, yeah.
And how often you release episodes?
Weekly.
Interviews?
Five years weekly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So 250. So when you get to episode 350, let's do it together.
Yes, my friend.
Just when you're getting close, message my assistant. And we'll figure out how to get on the calendar for 350 together.
Let's go. I appreciate you, brother.
All right. Much love, Ryan.
Take care, brother.
Cheers.
Hey, my friends. Thank you for making it to the end. I hope that our time spent together today has left you a little bit better than before you push play. I'd really appreciate if you just took a moment to leave a review to allow me to meet more people where they are and hopefully leave them a little bit better too. If you're curious to know how I, through Always Better Than Yesterday, can serve you, your team, your organization, then head to alwaysbetterthanyesterday.com to connect. And while you're there, let me know one or two things that you're going to do as a result of listening to this conversation. I absolutely love hearing your thoughts, your reflections, and the things that this spark in your own heart and mind. If you want more insights from my heart and mind, I do send out short episodes on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And again, I hope that they serve you well. I appreciate you listening. I'm Ryan Hartley, host of the Always Better Than Yesterday podcast, a podcast for heart-centered leaders just like you. Keep leading, my friends. Always love.